Pacific Home, Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other people, other talk shows, other entities, other life forms wish they could, but they can't. And that's why we do it every night here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. One thing to remind you about, if you are familiar with Reddit, and I know that there may be a lot of you who are not, we're going to do a AMA tomorrow starting at noon Pacific time. An AMA is Ask Me Anything. You can log on to Reddit. I'm going to be posting a link on our Twitter account, and I'll post the link as well on the homepage at philhendryshow.com. And you know, I'll make sure that all of you guys can access the link to our AMA, Ask Me Anything, tomorrow starting at noon on Reddit. Starting Monday, we will begin our new Phil Hendry Show, our free Phil Hendry Show podcast that starts Monday, and you will be able to link it at philhendryradio.com, where right now we have a live free stream of some of our archive material. So tons of stuff coming up, and we, you know, the summer is right around the corner. And then the other thing we got to talk about is the Ted Bell best of that we're putting together. This will be the very first best of compilation that has been really put together by our listeners, by our fans. We've got people voting, and you have to be a Backstage Pass member to vote on the best Ted Bell bit of all time. We're compiling that list, and in the month of June, we will roll out a new collection from Ted Bell, the best of Ted Bell. It will be a download on our website. You can download the tracks individually, or you can download them as an entire collection. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stories today that are of interest, Trayvon Martin, and some other stories having to do with health and lifestyle. But the first one we want to deal with is because, and it's because we want to get on the program here, Debbie Daly. Eventually, we got Debbie lined up. Harvey Wireman is joining us, and that is the passing of the great singer and all-around great performer and entertainer, and was at one time the sort of the queen of the disco scene in the 1970s. Donna Summer, she has died. And according to the story, you know, her breakthrough came in 1975 with the song Love to Love You. She did MacArthur's Park. Apparently, Donna Summer died today. Get a story here, bud. This doesn't tell me anything about her dying. It tells me all about her hit records.
That's what I do.
Well, I know that Debbie is going to come in here and in a moment and sing one of her songs. She had cancer. And she was 63 years of age, which puts her 4 years older than me. I always thought she was about the same age as me. She died from lung cancer, according to TMZ. Several sources say that Donna believes she contracted it by inhaling toxic particles after the 9/11 attacks in New York City. Her family released a statement claiming that they are at peace, celebrating her extraordinary life and her continued legacy. She died this morning after this extended battle with lung cancer. She was in Florida at her home in Florida, 63 years of age. People close to Donna Summer said that the singer was trying to keep the extent of her illness under wraps. TMZ spoke to a source who was with Summer a couple of weeks ago who said that she didn't seem too bad. She was focused on trying to finish up an album that she'd been working on. She had won 5 Grammys. And she shot to superstardom in the 1970s with the iconic hit Last Dance, Hot Stuff, and Bad Girls, Donna Summer. Harvey Wireman joining us from Southern California. Harvey, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'm an attorney, and the first thing that I think of is for Donna Summer was the... she got lung cancer from 9/11. I don't know, but I will tell you that I came on your program to talk about.
I'm sorry. You're not even going to talk about this.
No, I was going to do the Legal Parameters show, so I don't know anything.
I apologize. We get Debbie Daly.
Yeah, well, she's going to come on later.
Okay, great.
I don't know who Daly is.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to mention this. I thought you were going to have a comment or two. Are you familiar with her music?
Oh, yeah. I know Donna Summer's music. I mean, that's very sad, you know. It's very sad. But I can't comment beyond that. I will tell you this much, though. That World Trade Center, you know, I've got a lung condition. It's very evident when I'm on your program, and you can hear me.
That doesn't have anything to do with 9/11, does it?
No. I got this. I've had a bronchial condition ever since I can remember.
All right, Harvey Wireman is joining us, but we will have Debbie Daly on to, and Margaret Gray as well, to sort of comment a little bit more on the life of Donna Summer.
Yeah, put them on anytime you want, but I thought Mr. Wireman could.
Harvey, we do want to do legal parameters here tonight, and you have picked out a story for us, right?
Yeah, I've got a very interesting story, Bill, and I'm at home here, and let's get my glasses. This is a story. This is regulation run amok. And I can tell you that if we don't get it under control, we are going to be flat out of luck. We can't keep the ridiculous. And this isn't just this is not a government regulation. This is a private company. And if I was this man, I would not him. If I was this man, I'd hire me, which I guess is a stupid way of saying that I would take this man's case, is what I'm trying to say.
Against this restaurant.
Yeah. Now, the story is, while people in Wisconsin deal with the horror of a man denied all he could eat at an all-you-can-eat fish fry, that actually happened, Phil.
Guy was denied all-you-can-eat an all-you-can-eat fish fry.
Yeah, the guy, they advertised an all-you-can-eat fish fry. The guy went up to get all-you-can-eat, and they said, well, you know what, you eat too much, so we better...
And as an attorney, how do you read that?
As an attorney, here's how I read it. Well, you guys are flat out of, you're fresh out of friends, pal. Not the guy, the restaurant. Because if you put a sign up that says all you can eat, then brother, you better be ready for someone that could eat you. You know, just eat through you. Well, I don't want to, that's a little vulgar, but you know what I'm saying.
In other words, be prepared for someone that may just eat everything.
Well, I think you it stands to reason. Now, you can close early if you want. You can say, oh, we had a gasket blow in the kitchen and we're about to get flooded. You can do, there's a lot of things you can, let me get some water, okay? There's a lot of things you can do, but you can't just tell a guy on second thought. And I would say to that restaurant, well, it looks like you better think of something fast because I'm his attorney and I'll sue you until you guys are operating, until you're selling oranges off a freeway on ramp. How do you feel about that? What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, that's hard-assing them.
I was actually talking to you as if you were the guy. I'm sorry, Phil. All right, so...
No, I'm not that guy.
All right, while people in Wisconsin deal with the horror of a man denied all-you-can-eat and an all-you-can-eat fish fry,
What's wrong?
I'm having a hard time. Look at this word. What's this word, honey? Come here. What word is that, honey? Oh, a British restaurant has...
Do you have your glasses?
I've got my glasses. Don't worry about it. It's the phlegm.
Well, I don't know. How does the phlegm not help you see? I'm hopeful that you can see.
Don't worry about it, Phil. I got my glasses, okay? It was tough for me to see the word. A British a restaurant has decided to go the opposite route. Now, listen to this story. This guy was denied all you could eat because he was eating too much in Wisconsin, right?
Okay.
All right, now listen to this. In an effort to reduce waste, Kylan Buffet has begun charging customers 20 pounds, which is roughly, I don't know what the hell it is. It's $30 if they do not finish the food on their plate from the all-you-can-eat chinesi. From an all-you-can-eat chinesi?
I don't know what is it.
I don't know. Do you know what that is?
I don't have the copy in front of me, Harvey. You're talking to me about a story.
All right, hold on. Baby, come here. I got to get my granddaughter. What word is this? Okay, Chinese.
You can't read Chinese?
Is that
I don't mean you can't read Chinese.
Of course I can't read Chinese. You may not...
Can you read the word?
I guess I couldn't read the word, Phil. I had to get my... granddaughter. Is there a problem? The thing of it is...
Well, I mean, if you've got the glasses on, I'm just trying to figure out... I'm sorry.
You know, I'm 80 years old.
I'm sorry, Harvey.
I'm 80 years old. You want to try that on for size?
I apologize.
Go ahead. You, anybody in your audience, try it on for size. Go ahead, slip into that. I'm 80. I dare you to live that long. So she went to this, the guy, 20 pounds, in an effort to reduce waste, the Kylan Buffet has begun charging customers 20 pounds or $30 if they do not finish the plate on their, the food on their plate from the all-you-can-eat Chinese food buffet.
All right, look, we need to take a break here.
All right, well, where do you hear the rest of this stuff?
Okay, and Harvey Wireman with us here with Legal Parameters as we kick off our show here on this Thursday night. We still have Debbie Daly to come, Margaret Gray joining us on the passing of Donna Summer. I apologize, folks. I had my guests out of order there at the beginning. But we will continue to talk about Donna Summer, and we will continue to talk with Harvey on these pressing legal issues. And I would ask my producer, Bud Dickman, if you wouldn't mind getting on the line with Harvey and seeing what we could do about getting him maybe a clearer copy of the story. Maybe his glasses are not the right ones.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
All right, 877-876-7445. And don't forget, online on philhenryshow.com with our live streaming video cast of the show tonight on Phil TV in HD, and we will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, as we continue here tonight with Harvey Wireman in a new segment we call Legal Parameters. Now, you know, I want this to go smoothly, Harvey, but you've just had a difficult time reading.
I had a word there, but let me continue here, Phil. I've got my glasses, so you don't have to... So we're talking, and the thing that I want to let you know is...
Before you go on, I wanted to mention to people that we do have coming up at the show, Debbie Daly and Margaret Gray on Donna Summer.
Yeah, you asked me to talk about Donna Summer. I'm sorry that the young lady is gone, but I don't know...
No, you're right. That was a mistake on our part.
But anyway, this is a restaurant in England where they're charging you if you don't eat everything off your plate, if you can conceive of that. And it's a Chinese restaurant. Now let me continue here.
But before you do, so you go to the buffet.
Yeah, you go to the buffet and you get, well, and it's an all-you-can-eat. It's an all-you-can-eat. So in Wisconsin, they had God. Oh, look at that. A direct hit.
Okay, do you need to... hack up some...
Hack up what? No, I'm fine.
Okay, I mean, it's heard you spit.
Yes, I did. I have phlegm. In Wisconsin, they had an all-you-can-eat fish fry, and this guy came in, and he ate all the fish he could eat, and they told him, no, you can't. And that shows you just what kind of a gutless operation that is. My opinion is, if you say it's an all-you-can-eat, and you don't let someone eat everything... You know, you haven't got the guts. You haven't got the guts. God gave a midget, any kind of a midget or a small thing. So anyway, one outraged diner.
That was made a lot of sense.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Phil, you build a point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, you don't have any guts. You should, you know, the business comes in.
Yeah. One outraged diner filed a complaint when she was charged for two onion rings, a piece of prawn toast, and a spring roll that she and her family left on their plates. She was charged this 20-pound price, okay? So they didn't eat everything. They left two onion rings, a piece of prawn toast, and a spring roll that she and her family left on their plate. But... In the Razaba Rababu honey, was in the restaurant. That word came up before. And
can you read that word?
What do you mean, can I read? Yes, I can read the word. I just...
Well, the word came up before, you said.
Yes. I'm sorry, but it was... It looks funny. It's not that I can't read it. It's not that I don't speak English. It's not that I didn't graduate from college with a law degree. Thank you very much. The word is... Looks... It's not right on the page.
It's not right on the page. Are you seeing...
But, well, don't... You know, you're not grilling me. Just take it easy. But in the restaurant's defense, they totally pastadad. They totally pastadad. I don't know that word. Here, honey. Posted. They totally posted this notice as a warning. Boy, you talk...
But you couldn't read the word posted.
Are you going to... What is this? Is this break the castanets of Harvey Weinman Hour?
I can't believe you can't read the word posted, and you can't read the word restaurant, and you couldn't read the word Chinese. That's all.
Am I reading all the other words?
You are, Harvey, but when you say...
Am I reading all the other words? That's my only question.
Yes.
Then don't worry about it. I can see what I'm doing. The word looks wrong. It's all wrong. I speak English, believe me. But when I see this word, it just doesn't belong there.
What does that mean exactly?
All the words look right, but when I got to this posted, I had to back away for a minute. It scared me. And
I don't know, what does that mean? It looked wrong and you got scared.
That's just what I'm telling you. Now let me finish, will you? Maybe it's time for a glibble. Maybe it's time for a glibble. Is that a word?
I've never heard of the word glibble, no.
Get Becky in here, will you? Just get her in here, would you please? This guy's breaking my castanets. Honey, what word is this? Global.
Global.
Yes, that's what I said.
Glibble is what you did say.
I read it wrong. What's your problem, Henry?
My problem is this. You got a degree in the law. You
don't like the way I read. You can barely talk. You got a degree. God, the phlegm. I had to start calling you Piggy the Pork, or what's the guy?
Piggy the Porky Pig?
Yeah, because of the way you're talking. You talk worse than I read. Let me finish this up, because I want to make a point about civil liberties. And
are you sure you're going to be able to read your notes?
Well, now, aren't you a real smartass? Aren't you a real smartass?
Well, the way you're reading this...
Okay, so it was a global warming. Now, I want to just make a point here about Amy McKeever, this idiot that writes for the Daily Mail. She wrote this following sentence. They totally posted this note. You know that's Valley Girl talk, and they got it right. I can't believe that.
Well, you're saying global is glibble, and Rosh Dafarian is restaurant, and Chena Wei is Chinese, and...
No, I didn't say any of those. You're lying. That is a lie. That is a misrepresentation. I didn't say Chena Wei. I said Chinese. And that was a mistake. Yes, it was a mistake. And I said restaurant was restaurant. I didn't say Rastafarian. Maybe it's time for a global summit on what the phrase "all you can eat" actually means. Because if you're not actually going to allow,
Oh man.
Hold on, will you? Costa.
Would you get somebody to help you with that?
What's it say? Customers, okay.
Okay, you know what?
You're going to hang up on me, Mr. Talk Show Host? Is that what you're going
to
do?
No, but I do have to take a break.
Oh, you got to take a break? You're not going to hang up on me so you can get the last word and say, well, I got to get rid of this stupid old man. Three words I butcher, and you're ready to throw in the towel on this thing. This is an important story.
Customers? Chinese? Restaurant? You can't say the global? I mean,
I'm 80 and my glasses, okay? You know my granddaughter. She brings me the big oversized kaleidoscope glasses from the Dumbo ride at Disneyland. Every time I ask her for glasses, she brings me the Dumbo ones. And I've said to her, and I've said to her mother, I said, it's cute, but it's not cute anymore. I'm on the radio. What do you want me to do? Sit there with Dumbo glasses? Now, I'm going to take a switch to this kid unless he gets the right glasses.
So, all right, hold on, Harvey. I don't want to hear a life story here. We'll be right back with more on this all-you-can-eat problem, which maybe we'll never actually get to the end of. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The latest study from the workplace tells us that women that want to succeed need to, and I'm quoting the headline here from the Daily Mail, they need to shut up. That's a study that we're going to dig into next hour. Men who want to succeed should keep on talking. Are you ready for that? We'll find out what that's all about next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The number is 877-876-7445. We have Harvey Wyman on the line with us. As we continue to talk here about the story, this story on the fining people, or otherwise, I don't know if it's really a fine, Harvey, so much as it is just charging people for not finishing the food on their plate.
Yeah, I've got the story here, and it says, and let me just, you're gonna start getting on your high horse again. But what is a cup? What is a gabagandabada? Not bad, no. Yeah, that word. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm slowed down here, Phil, because the story here, as you know, is that they are charging people if they don't clean their plate at this chaga. Damn.
Chinese.
All right. Oh, sorry. Chinese. Chinese restaurant. Now, my granddaughter doesn't know this word. But it says here, if you're not actually going to allow customers to eat all they can eat, or if you're going to force them to eat more than they can eat, then the fa.
What are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm trying to read the word here.
Well, it sounds like you're going fa.
Yeah, it's... The word is fui.
How do you spell it?
Honey, come here for a minute.
No, your granddaughter's not helping you out.
Excuse me, she's my grand... What's that word? You don't know the word? She doesn't know the word.
Spell it.
P-H-R-A-S-E.
Phrase.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Man, Harvey, I just don't understand.
Look, let's keep the critique... For another time, okay?
All right, but we're running over into the Debbie Daly segment. I want to get Debbie Daly on the line. She wanted to talk to you.
I don't know who Debbie Daly is. I could,
Well, she's on the line with us right now, Harvey. If you wouldn't mind, have a little bit of, just a little bit of social skill here.
I apologize.
Debbie?
Hey, how are you doing? You really need to be in your room.
Debbie, this is Harvey Wyman.
I'm on the line waiting for Debbie Daly.
That she just said hello to you.
Well, I heard something that sounds like there's something wrong with the phone.
No, that's Debbie, and I guess you don't know Debbie Daly.
I don't know Debbie Daly any more than I know the Daily Dugan, which was a paper in my hometown, Dugan, Indiana. And I never read it, so I wouldn't know Debbie Daly from the Daily Dugan or...
That's nice. In any event...
Well, I'm sorry to bore you.
Well, you're giving me a speech. In any event, this is Debbie Daly. She's the host...
Mm-hmm.
She's the host of...
How do you do, ma'am?
The host of Daly's Daily on public radio. And she's saying, I understand that everybody's familiar with me. How do you do?
Thank you, Debbie, and I apologize if I didn't recognize. And you have to understand, I've had a hard time reading, and I guess I'm having a hard time hearing this evening.
She says, I understand, Harvey. I know how difficult it is. I have my hearing impaired condition, and she said she understands how it is to not be able to read properly.
Well, hold on for just a second, Debbie. I thank you, but I'm not. You don't lump me in with you. I'm not. You know. What I mean is, I'm not. You know, I don't have a tin. You know, I don't go to a. You. I imagine you have to take some sort of training from Goodwill or something. I don't know.
She does a radio show. She does a radio show on public radio. What do you mean by training from Goodwill?
Let me ask a question here before we move any further.
She wants to know, why are you clearing your throat like that?
Clearing my throat? Because, Ms. Daly, I'm an old man, and I have a bronchial condition that I originally... I got it as a kid, and it worsened during I was in the service, and I've never been able to, never clear the phlegm out.
She says, you sound pretty weird talking about me being handicapped.
I sound weird. Miss Daly, I don't want to insult you. I sound weird. I can't believe it.
She said, that's what you sound like.
What is she? You know, Ms. Daly, I don't know if anybody's ever been honest with you, but you sound like a dog that's dying.
Harvey, why would you say that?
Well, she's giving me a hard time.
She came on the program, and she's going to sing a song if you think she sounds like a dog that's dying.
Well, this I got to hear. Sing a song? Ma'am, I didn't say anything about you. You're the one that was making fun of me.
She's going to sing a song. In fact, Debbie came on the program to honor Donna Summer. She's going to sing... She's going to sing Love to Love You. The only problem is, Debbie, I know that we were going to fax you the lyrics to the song, and I'm having a very hard time finding those lyrics.
I want to jump in. Ms. Daly, I respect and honor what you've been able to achieve in your life, but I don't think Mr. Henry is doing his audience a favor when you have young, impressionable minds turning this show on, and they don't know it's you. All they know is they hear someone who sounds, and let me underline the word sounds, as if she's, you're having a hard time passing a bowel movement. I'm sorry.
Debbie, I'll handle it. That's about the most unnecessary thing I think you could have said.
Well, why am I the object? I'm 80 and I've got a bronchial condition. You know what? You don't have to interpret, Phil. I think I know what I heard her say. I think she's basically giving me more crap.
Basically, yeah. All right, Debbie, I tell you what. Margaret Gray is joining us, and I know she's going to do a little intro for you, huh? Margaret?
Hi, Phil. I don't know what. I've known Harvey for a number of years, and I certainly. Harvey, if you would just do us all the favor of just backing away a little bit and let me...
Fine, I'll back away. I don't give a sweet Jesus. I could give a damn. I'd be happy to back away. I've been sitting here trying to do a news story, and I got Henry telling me, no, it's global, it's global. And I got to talk to my granddaughter, when you got to rely on my granddaughter... Who was, and I say, I love my granddaughter. I would kill for my granddaughter, but they had to pull her out with forceps. You know that, right?
No, I don't know that, Harvey, and...
Yeah, why are you saying this?
Because I'm relying on people that I can't rely on. That's all I'm saying. I got a granddaughter that was pulled out with forceps. I've got, I'm carrying on a conversation with someone that doesn't really speak.
No, hold on, Debbie. Don't you hang up. Don't you... Harvey, I would ask you if you've got any decency left in you at all to just back off.
Fine.
Yeah, Harvey, if you don't mind.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for sticking up for me, Phil.
I'm sticking up for you, man. I'm telling you, you've just...
Yeah, sure. What an ass. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad, man.
Phil, we are gathered here on your program this evening. And Debbie, how are you, darling? I'm very happy to speak to you. Debbie is, as you know, Phil, the world's first and so far the only hearing-impaired host in radio. And she is going to, not only has she been doing a wonderful radio show for public radio, doing her morning show, Debbie's Daily's Daily. I'm flustered. I'm very flustered from what I walked into the middle of. But not only that, but she also sings. And this is going to be a first, and we're going to listen to Debbie this morning doing it Margaret Gray style. Is that right? Thank you very much.
You say that Margaret's been an inspiration, huh, Debbie?
All right. Well, I'm very flattered by that, darling. And you're going to sing a cappella what? All right, Phil, here we go. Do you want me to count you down? I'll count you down. And this is Debbie's tribute to Donna Summer, who is gone, but she's not forgotten, Phil. And we love you, Donna, and there'll never really be another Donna Summer, but I'll tell you something right now. There's never going to be another Debbie Daly either.
That right.
Who said that?
All right, let's just move on.
No, no. Who said that?
I did.
I asked you to shut up, didn't I?
You said there'll never be a... I just was agreeing.
Yeah, you were agreeing with your smart ass. You're right, Debbie. I'm just going to push on.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Just be quiet, Harvey.
Yeah, sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, to honor the life of Donna Summer and to show that people with handicap, people who are hearing impaired, people who are visually impaired, people who are physically challenged, they too can be a part of the arts. Here is Debbie Daly with Donna's great timeless classic, Love to Love You Baby, 2-3, and the 1-2-3. Eddie Brown, Jimmy Johnson on bassoon. Here we go.
It's okay. She dropped the phone.
Got him.
Wait, hold on, Debbie. If I hear from you one more time, I don't care if you're 80, I don't care if you're 15, I don't care if you are a Marine or a former Marine.
Or never a former Marine.
I'll come over there and I will... You'll be walking around and it'll just be a hat on a neck.
A hat on a neck, huh?
Yes.
All right, I had to put everybody on hold because this is out of control. Is she going to sing the song?
Yeah, we put her on hold for it.
Because we got a break here, man. I got a break. Debbie Daly is singing Love to... Is she done? I don't know. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in a moment with more from Debbie Daly and Harvey Weirman.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And this is to honor Donna Summer. Uh.
this is disgusting.
Shut up.
Hold on.
I demand you stop this.
Oh, God. Hold on. Kill it. Are you... I don't know if she's all right, Bill. What is... Debbie, are you all right, darling?
Well, what... Debbie, the reason why... What happened?
Hey, I told Mr. Henry to stop because you sounded like a dog that had had a leg cut off. But
she said you really want a piece of me, don't you?
A piece of you? Is she kidding? You were. This is what you sounded like. You were going.
She said, "What do you think you sound like when you're clearing your throat?"
What is this, Henry? Why don't you take control of your show instead of you interpreting for the Elephant Man here? Okay.
You know what, Harvey? That does it. I have heard a lot of really insulting things out of your mouth over the years, but that takes the cake.
Oh, what do you want me to say? I've got a million people, but, you know...
She said you sound like a retard, too. I'm shocked at you using that word, Debbie.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't give a damn anymore, because guess what? Now you're just like the rest of us. Just another fumbling, wailing, wounded animal out in the street. Good night.
All right.
Well, darling, don't be hateful. Just because he's hateful, don't you be hateful. You know, you've done so well with your life. Just because he's a dirty, old, hateful old man. A dirty... Hold on, Phil. Who is it?
Domino's.
Come on, right in. Now...
Aha!
How are you...
Oh, you know what? Turn the fan off, will you, bud? I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you right now. Is Ms. Daly still there? Okay, it seems to me that we've lost both the line to the Gray home. We lost our line, obviously, to Mr. Wireman. And all I heard there, what did you hear, bud?
It sounded to me like she got a pizza delivery.
That's what it sounded like to me. It sounded like it was Harvey Wireman. How he got over to her house that fast, I have no idea. Debbie, I want to tell you that you have my admiration for being courageous. No, I know it doesn't take courage when you love music, but you must realize that you sound, it's difficult.
What do you mean?
What am I getting at? Well, I mean, you're hearing impaired. Yeah, Jim Abbott had one hand, yeah. For some reason, you can throw... It's easier to play baseball with one arm than it is to sing if you can't hear. I don't know why that is. You're going to cut a demo. You can do anything you want. Going out on tour with Nicki Minaj. All right. Look at Debbie. I got to get going now because it's a little distracting for the audience to hear you and then me having to interpret. Okay, so I'm a two ears. Thank you very much, and the best of luck to you. And thank you for singing that song for us because it was, All right, bud, hold on. Don't put that on like that.
I think she wanted to finish up.
Yeah, you know what? She may want to do a lot of things, man. God.
Now you're going to cry, man.
You know what? For the first time in a long time, I feel like crying. That started out with, first of all, you boy, bud, when I say, you know, bring on the guests, I mean bring on the guests. You got Harvey on, the wrong guy. You got, then you're going to do Harvey commenting on Donna Summer. He don't know nothing about her.
I know.
Yeah, there you go. Give the man a cigar. You didn't know. You want to know why? Because you weren't listening. In any event, thank you very much to all of my guests. Coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we have a little bit of a workplace situation, controversy. This is a study that has concluded women who want to succeed at work should, quote, shut up. We'll find out from a couple of our guests. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Got one more shot here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Is this okay? I'm on. This is Harvey Wireman, ladies and gentlemen. I've got something to say about. First, I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong. I learned how to get along. And so you're back. Yeah, from outer space. Yeah, I just walked in. Yeah, to find you here with a sad look on your face. I should have changed the lock. I should have made you leave the key. If I'd known for just one second you'd be back to bother me, I'd buy a dog. I'm sorry, I'll go on. Walk out the door. Just turn around now, because you're not wet. No welcome anymore. You weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, I know. I will survive. I will survive.
No, that's not the...
I will survive. I don't know. I can't see it anymore. But you know the point I'm making. If you want to sing some Donna Summer...
Yeah, well, that's not Donna Summer.
I will survive. What's that?
That's not Donna Summer.
The hell it's not? What do you mean it's not Donna Summer? I will survive. Yeah, I will survive. You don't know that?
Hey, turn it off, will you? Turn it off, bud. That ain't Donna Summer. That's Gloria Gaynor. Where is he, man? Do you got him back on the... Harvey, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. What happened?
That's not Donna Summer. That's Gloria Gaynor.
I spent so many nights...
Turn that down. That's not Donna Summer. What'd you do, bud?
I was told by this guy Dickman that was Donna Summer.
It is Donna Summer.
No, it's not. No, it isn't. It's Gloria Gaynor.
Oh, baloney.
Well, the Dickman's the one who told me that was Donna Summer. And I'm saying it.
If you don't turn that down, man, I'm going to...
So what are you telling me now? I've just made a baboon out of myself? Is that it?
Pretty much, man. That's just like every time you come on the show.
Oh, just like every time I come on the show. Is that it, huh? Did you tell me that was Donna Summer?
Yeah, I thought it was Donna Summer. I found out now. I just looked at the label.
Oh, he looked at the label. Well, that helps.
Oh, he looked at the label. Are you trying to put me on? When I asked you for a Donna Summer song, I wanted a Donna Summer. And if that's not Donna, I hear that song everywhere.
Yeah, you might hear it everywhere.
But we went on a cruise on the Danube River. Last year, I went with my lady friend, and that song played in the nightclub every night. You should have seen these Austrians and the Hungarians.
That's really great, and I'm really happy to hear about that, except that ain't Donna Summer, it's Gloria Gaynor, it's not her song.
Well, you want to know something? It still holds, because you can bring me on your show and make me look like an ass, and I will survive. And if Donna Summer were here, thank you, and I'll survive.
Thanks very much, bud. So now I had to cut him off. That's great.
Cut off Harvey Wireman, one of the biggest attorneys in L.A.
I don't give a damn. You're the guy with the wrong song. All right, anyway, rest in peace, Donna Summer. That was the most butchered up, and to think, and Debbie Daly's going to come on and do a tribute, and she's deaf.
Not supposed to say deaf, got to say hearing impaired.
Never mind what I got to say. All right, we're going to get Bob Green on the line with us here in just a moment, because this is an interesting and rather serious story, folks. There is a bit of research that's been making the rounds over the last couple of days that we'll give you an inside scoop on. It first made its appearance in the Daily Mail online, the British newspaper. It is a conclusion likely to upset most feminists. This is, of course, I'm reading from their article, and perhaps even most women. Female employees who want to succeed in the workplace should keep their mouths shut. Research suggests that women who talk too much in the office are seen as less competent than their quieter peers. For the men, however, the more they voice their opinions, the better they are seen at doing their jobs. The researchers say that chatty women are seen as a, quote, nag, who are domineering and presumptuous if they speak too much. The depressing conclusion is that if you are a woman who wants to get ahead, you should hold your tongue, especially in front of men. So joining us on the line this evening from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, is Robert Green, is the CEO of one of the largest grocery chains in the United States, some 50 stores throughout the Southeast and the Southwest. And Bob, always good to have you with us.
It's always great to be on the program, Phil. Thank you.
Now we segue from the story that I just read to the situation at your place of business and what happened today.
Well, what happened today is I exercised my right as an employer, and I posted that article. I put it in our lunchroom, our break room. Most of our checkers are female. In fact, during a certain time of the day, we have most of the people that are on the floor are women. There are checkers. We have a lot of women who are working in the stock room.
And by posting this in the break room, where you saw that mostly women would see this, what happened?
I got a call from two representatives. Two of these people are representatives of a labor organization. Now, understand, we are not a union shop. But I do know that we've got checkers who belong to organizations that petition a labor board on occasion. And that's fine. I got nothing against that. I think my workers should be allowed to express their opinions, but I'm just not going to have any... we don't want to have any unions in here. You can't do that. It's not that I've got anything against unions, but if I start unionizing, if I allow unionizing, then other individuals who are in management are going to see me as the enemy. But nonetheless, I got a call, and I also got a call from an attorney who told me that this constituted a hostile work environment.
Now, they said it was a hostile work environment because you posted this article that said women should hold their tongue at work.
That is correct. Now, I almost laughed in the guy's face because I said, how is it hostile if I'm simply saying to women, here is a great idea that's going to help you get ahead?
Now, the question that was asked by this gentleman, as you told me and your attorney told me, before we went on the air, is they asked, had you ever posted any other news articles? Had you ever?
No, and I said, no, I hadn't. This had been the first because I had not, up to that point, thought about it. And it just so happens that I've been thinking about wanting to keep my employees better informed, and just things they can talk about while they're on their lunch break. And I came to that conclusion, and you can talk to my girlfriend, Carrie Ann, who I had discussed this with her as I was leaving her house this morning, as a matter of fact, this morning. And so...
So there's nothing... You, what you're saying is it's coincidental that it happened to be this article.
Absolutely coincidental from this standpoint. I didn't say, oh, this is really a great article, I think I'll post it. I had said, I think I want to start putting news articles up. And I looked down at the paper that I was reading, and I was reading the Orange County Register, which is the paper that we read, and I saw that article, and I said, well, you know, might as well start with this one.
Okay, see, that's what the attorney said he didn't believe.
Oh, I know that this guy look, he's a lawyer, Phil, working for a group of people that are trying to unionize. In my book, and I don't mean any disrespect, but in my book, that means not a very nice word.
All right, well, then we can not use the word.
I can use it. It means a dirtbag. And
okay, let's see if we can't, because when you do that, now all of a sudden we realize there's some kind of a personal beef.
There's a personal beef. There's a beef with him trying to take my money. You know what I mean by that?
No, I understand that the whole thing with having to pay employees more money and obviously health and this and that, and you realize that in some people's minds that makes you pretty much Ebenezer Scrooge or Mr. Potter, depending.
I understand that, and those are people that don't understand business. But I'm telling you this. When I put the article up about women being quiet...
Let me just ask you a question.
No, when I put the article up about women being quiet, I was simply... saying, I want to put news up, and it happened to be that story.
All right. You, according to the attorney, when you had read this article, and you read it out loud to some guys in the, because I guess one or two people witnessed this, you read it out loud to some guys in the supermarket, you let out a whoop?
I was reading it. I didn't let out a whoop, no. I was reading it to Tom Simpson. And a couple of the other guys who work in the stock room. And I kind of gave it a, I read the article and I went, ooh, something like that. I didn't let out a big, loud whoop.
All right. But basically, when you read the article of them, the indication was you really liked the news.
I mean, if you are a woman and you think you understand men, then you would understand how a news article saying that women can get ahead in the office if they don't talk so much, you can understand how that would excite any man. Because it gives you, Phil, for the first time in history, it gives you some hope. And it gives you some breathing room. It allows for women to get ahead in the workplace, and it allows for men to, for the first time, as I said in history, not to have to listen all the time to it.
And when we say to it, what do you mean?
I mean to women.
Talking too much.
No, not talking too much. Yes, but, Phil, you got me in a very difficult position here.
The whole thing comes down to this. You were excited about this news, and you put it up in the workplace as a statement. You ladies, this is how you get ahead, and it is being read by your employees as a harassing or hostile act. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. The news says, this is a piece of research from Great Britain, it is more likely for a woman to get ahead in the workplace if she doesn't talk so much. And it's more likely for a man to get ahead in the workplace if he does. Bob Greene posted this article in the break room at Fraser Foods, and some of the women there feel it was a hostile act. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we're talking with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. By the way, hockey final, and if you go to our homepage at philhendryshow.com, you see we linked the article from the New York Times. It's kind of a crazy weekend here in Los Angeles, 72 hours straight of playoff sports, hockey, basketball. Lakers are playing, Clippers are playing, Kings played tonight, they're playing again on Sunday, but the Kings defeated the Coyotes 2-1. They are 3-0 in that series, so it's kind of a big piece of news for Los Angeles sports fans because the Kings are a game away from a Stanley Cup final for only the second time in their history. Now, if you were to ask me how many real hockey fans there are in L.A., I could, you could probably count them in four figures. I mean, the real hardcore ones.
Can I jump in?
Go ahead, Bob.
I don't know. You know, here in Orange County, we have the Diamonds or the Anaheim. We got the hockey team.
The Ducks.
The Ducks. We have the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. And they won the Stanley Cup. And the Kings have not won the Stanley Cup. And that's kind of exciting because anytime we can see L.A. not win and we already won, that is a big boost to Orange County. So I just would like to remind everybody in L.A. that we won the Stanley Cup in Anaheim, but you haven't won it. You haven't won the Stanley Cup in Los Angeles, within the city limits there. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is that a big deal? I always thought...
Is what the big deal?
Winning the Stanley... See, I'll tell you why.
Winning... Are you kidding? That's the number one trophy in hockey.
No, I know that, but when the Ducks won the Stanley Cup, I believe there was a tour of the Stanley Cup to Anaheim, and it was in one of the malls there. I think nobody even gave a damn.
Well, no, I mean, I would not... No one cares, really, about the Stanley Cup itself. It was exciting to see the team win.
But the hockey fans of, let's say, the most hardcore hockey fans, which exist, say, in Canada or in the northeastern part of the United States, they're excited. And when they see the Stanley Cup being sort of ignored there in Orange County, isn't that kind of an insult?
To who?
To the Canadians. To the hardcore fans.
Well, Phil, I haven't made the money that I've made in my life worrying about what other people think. And really, that's what we're talking about in your program here tonight. We're talking about me posting an article that basically says if women want to get ahead in work, they need to shut up. Now, I didn't say that. An article said that in a newspaper, in England. And I would say that that's a very significant thing. And they're trying to get me for sexism. They're trying to get me for a hostile work environment. Well, guess what? They can't do it because it was in the newspaper, and all I did was put it on the bulletin board.
All right, we do have a recording of this whoop.
Yeah, I know. One of these women that thought that she was going to somehow get the better of me recorded this meeting. It was not even a meeting. I was standing there in the middle of the... can I tell the story?
Go ahead.
You're going to play this recording.
Yeah, we were sent this recording by one of your employees of you whooping and shout and basically celebrating the news that women need to keep quiet in the workplace.
Yeah, I was standing and I was talking to Bill. I was talking to Bill Reisman, as you know, works in our produce department, and I was talking to Jerry Powell and a couple of the other guys. And I read this article, and we were laughing about it. And I gave out a whoop, and she's got the recording, and she gave it to the news as if I'm some kind of a sexist guy, and no way.
All right, let's play this, and you know, I'm not saying that it is significant of anything, but here it is.
Oh. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo! Yeah. I think that was it, Phil.
Okay, I don't know if people heard it, but it was you whooping it up.
Yeah, I don't deny it. I don't think it says anything other than, you know, it's a great piece of news for women and men.
All right, so that's what's hard to believe, okay?
Well, I'm sorry if it's hard to believe, Phil.
But that's when you say that this is a great piece of news for women. You read an article that said women need to shut up in the workplace.
Yeah.
And then you went woohoo, as we just heard, and now you're saying you were happy because it was good for men and women.
I'm not saying that it's good for... I'm saying it's good for... Yes, I do believe it's good for women. I'll tell you why. It's better for men because men... It says that men should keep talking. It's not great for women because it tells women the best way for you to get ahead is to just do something that... I don't know. I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I could have told them. You know what I'm saying? Just, would you please just not talk so much? And, man, you'll see the world open up to you. And I think that's good news, Phil. And I think it's good news for anyone's daughter, anyone's wife, anyone's...
Paul Reisman?
Yeah, not Paul, no. His name is Bob Reisman. He works at our produce.
Okay, Bob, did you talk to his wife?
I said to him, and I said to his wife, Karen, I said, this is great news for Karen. I said, because, and I told Karen,
Bob was there, and I said, this is good news, because you really need to shut up, and I might not have used the best words.
Well, now, why would you say that to a woman who's not your wife in front of her husband?
Because I was giving her some advice.
Yeah, but you're saying to her, shut up, in front of her husband.
So, I don't understand the connection.
Is that not humiliating?
For who?
For the husband?
Well, I mean, I'm his employer, Phil, so there's not a whole lot he's got to say about it. I mean, if I say, and I'm this way with all my employees, when I say to his wife, I said, look, this is good news for you, Karen, and all you women, you need to just not talk so much, okay? And I said, I used the word shut up, yeah.
And what did he do?
He didn't do anything. I mean, there was nothing needed for him to do. I'm sure he agreed with me.
Well, you know, let me just offer this opinion. If you say that to a man's wife in front of the man, don't you feel as if you are humiliating him and otherwise starting something?
No, starting something? No, I certainly don't, Phil. I certainly don't. I said to everybody, this is great news. It's great news for men, but also, if you can just shut up or not talk. And I said, and as men, we don't have to listen to you.
87, so we're going to get some phone calls here. Can you take some calls?
Well, yeah, I'll take some calls, but I'm not going to... I know what I believe, Phil. What, are you going to try and talk me out of it or something?
No, I just... People may have questions. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have our News and Information Hour. We will bring Margaret Gray back on the show. She wants to further comment on the passing of Donna Summer. Margaret's a singer, and so she's going to have a lot to say about that. We have with us here Robert Greene at Fraser Food in Buena Park, California, talking about news that was posted on a bulletin board in the break room. What is the break room? It's where they have lunch, right?
I'm sorry, Phil.
What is your break room where they have lunch?
Yeah, break room is where our employees go and they have lunch. There's a refrigerator there. There's a microwave there. There are, there are eating implements there. There's napkins there. There's tables. I believe we have a television set there, and the employees can go and enjoy their lunch. A lot of people take a snack break there or what have you. And we have a bulletin board that borders the far wall when you walk into the break room. And it is on that bulletin board that I generally, at probably, about 6 or 6:30 in the morning, because I get there very early. I get there before anybody else. I'm there before, and we open up at 7, and I'm there before anyone. Because the first thing that I always make sure of, Phil, is that no one will ever say, well, how do you know, Mr. Green? You don't get here till 10 o'clock. That they're never going to get to say that because I'm there staring at them when they walk in late, a lot of them.
Why do I get the feeling you've got this contentious relationship with your employees?
It's not contentious. You're misreading it. It's not contentious. My relationship with my employees is not contentious. My relationship with my employees is simply I'm the boss. That's all.
Well, you're the boss, and of course you're the boss, but... you're there, and they come in late, usually.
Well, come on. I mean, there's a few of them that come, they drag it in here. So let me finish my point, Phil.
Go ahead.
I walk in probably at, I arrive at 6. I have a bag of breakfast that I take up to my office. I sit down. I have a shake. I have a sandwich that generally has it's a breakfast meat sandwich. And a shake. I will then also have a thermos of coffee, and it is then that I also go over the news from my Orange County Register. It just so happened that Carrie Ann is my girlfriend, was with me. She took me to work because she wanted to drive my, you know, she wanted to drive my Jaguar to her job because she wanted to look like a big shot. And I'm sure you know how it is.
No, I don't, but, you know.
Well, you know, not the Jaguar. I don't know what she was driving this morning, but so she wanted to look like she's dating a guy that's got money, and she is. And I could see how that's exciting for a woman. So I let her bring me to work. She dropped me off.
Okay, so, all right, so you're eating breakfast.
What's that?
So you're eating breakfast.
Yeah, so I'm having breakfast. And I saw this article, and that's when I called Reisman, and I called Willard, and I called a couple of guys in. I read the article to them about women needing to shut up. And by the way, Carrie Ann was there. And I said, Carrie Ann, listen to this. And I told her, you got to keep your mouth shut. And that's when I went, whoopee, woo, or, well, you know, you played the tape. And she went out with a big smile on her face. She didn't seem offended at all.
Well, she's driving your Jaguar, you know.
Well, what's that got to do with it? I don't.
Well, she's got a relationship with you that obviously is.
Is what? And I would ask you to be careful, sir.
I'm not saying anything, Bob, that isn't obvious. She's got a relationship with you that she gets some perks.
Well, you know, that's offensive to me. And
but, well, is it true or isn't it?
It's true, but I don't need you putting that together with the hostile workplace thing. I don't get it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green is with us as we talk about his posting an article in the break room at his business, which said, in essence, women need to keep quiet to advance in the workplace. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us, and I want to get your read on this, Dr. Sadler. How are you this evening, sir?
Sir, I'm very good. I'm having a difficult time hearing you, if you could.
All right, I'm sorry. I'll try to turn you up. And, Bob, this is Dr. Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, how are you? Robert Green. I'm very good, thank you.
Dr. Sadler, you're a psychologist, and it would seem to me...
Whoa. Can I ask a question here?
Go ahead.
What do you mean a psychologist? See, this is what bothers me, Phil, about you. I was on your show...
All I'm trying to do is it's got nothing to do with you.
I've been on your show a number of times. And then you bring on a head shrinker, and the word... And that's like a big neon finger pointing at me and saying, and now here comes the head shrinker, because Bob... Now the neon finger lights up. Bob. You know, and what's it saying? What's the neon finger say?
What is the neon finger saying?
Phil, can I jump in? It's Dr. Shaw. I think I know where Bob's going with this. Oh, do you, Doc? I do. You say, what does the neon finger say?
Yeah, what is the neon finger that Mr. Henry just lit up, and it's pointing at me, and it says, Bob.
The neon finger is saying, Bob needs to talk to someone.
Bob needs to talk to someone because he's bat crap crazy. And, you know, I find that...
No, I don't think you're bat crap crazy.
Why do you jump to that conclusion?
Why do you have a witch doctor on talking to me...
What do you mean, witch doctor?
Well, because I don't believe in psychiatry, sir. I don't believe in psychiatry, and I'm offended, Mr. Henry, that you would bring this gentleman on.
He's not a psychiatrist. Dr. Sadler is a psychologist.
Well, what's the difference?
There's a very big difference, Mr. Green, if I could just allow you, if I could allow you, or not,
you're going to allow me? You mean what? I'm going to allow you?
Yeah, if you will allow you.
If you will allow him.
If you will allow him.
If, will you just say what you got to say?
I was going to say to you, Mr. Green, the following thing. Your insecurity...
Hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, insecure. Would you not interrupt me?
I don't mean to interrupt you. I can't talk to people when I can hear their mouth. You're playing with saliva.
I beg your pardon?
I said you're playing with saliva in your mouth. I can't stand listening to people.
And what are you talking about?
Before he was going like this. It makes me want to vomit. All right?
Sir, I beg your pardon. I am a doctor, a psychologist, a member of America, the American Psychology League, or I mean the American, the Western Division, the American Psychological Psychology Association. Okay. Just did it again.
Wait, hold on. Both of you guys, hold on. Dr. Sadler, do you know what organization you belong to?
I do, but I have to be honest with you. I'm very offended by what Mr. Green just said, to the point where I want to hit him. You want to hit me? Yes, okay. You know, when you did it again, he's doing this. It sounds as if you are getting it on with a teddy bear.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, you're not sorry at all. You're laughing your ass off. You think the whole thing is a big joke.
Yeah, Miss Henry, I heard the same thing. Well, I mean, it's when you go like this, it sounds like you're hunching a stuffed animal. Oh, my God. I really want to hit you.
And get out of here, both of you guys, okay? Oh.
Why'd you hang up on him, man?
Don't keep asking me why I hang up on people. I hung up on them because they were both driving me nuts. That's why. Because I had a feeling we were going to lose control of this show, man, 5 minutes into it tonight.
Yeah, start out Debbie Daly mumbling away.
You're right, bud. I got to give it. When you're right, as the man said. It started out with Debbie Daly mumbling away. You got it. But that Dr. Sadler, you know, for the first time probably in years, I find myself agreeing with Robert Greene. Why don't you, I don't know if you, you know.
Well, I know Dr. Sadler, he is all mad and everything like that. Hold on, let me get the phone. Dr. Sadler?
This is Jim Sadler, yes.
Dr. Sadler, Mr. Henry disconnected you by mistake.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what happened. I thought that maybe he hung up on me.
Are you crying, sir?
I'm a little bit emotional, yeah, when the man said that he said, and I'm quoting, are we on the air?
Well, yeah, we are.
Oh, for God's sake. Would you?
Bud, you can't do that. They can actually, they'll, you know, it's,
sorry.
They can get pissed off about that. You got to tell them that they're on, don't just call a guy up and throw him on the air. How many times have I told you guys that?
About 100. Well, I'm sorry,
yeah, no, not sorry. Before you put anybody on the air, you got to get permission.
How come I hear a lot of guys do it and they don't get no permission?
I don't care. Anybody that puts anyone on the air without first telling them, not even telling them, you have to get their permission. You can't just say, hi, you're on the air. You can't do that. That's against the law. That's a felony in the state of California and in Florida and a bunch of other states. You have to say, in some way, you're going to be going on the air, and you've got to get their consent.
Yeah, we don't do it on a show here.
Yes, we do. By virtue of the fact that they're calling a number that they know, because we told them we'll get them on the air, we've already gotten their permission.
What?
You just heard what I said, so just take it easy, okay? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back and try to straighten things out, at least with Mr. Green and Dr. Sadler. And we also have Margaret Gray returning next hour. Donna Summer, rest in peace, talking about the workplace at Fraser Foods, which increasingly seems to be a universe unto itself. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. Oh, God.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I won't stand for that.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Sadler's back with us. Do we have Dr. Green? I mean, Mr. Green?
What, is it Dr. Green or Mr. Green?
Mr. Green!
Bud, hi, it's Dr. Sadler. It's Mr. Green. I'm the doctor.
Okay.
Call him back.
Phil, I want you to know that I overheard what you were talking about during the break.
Okay.
Well?
All right, can I tell my audience?
Well, you can do whatever you want, but I was very hurt by it.
I'm sorry. I was telling Dan during the break that I had a therapist once, not for very long, and he had kind of a wimpy voice, and I had said to him that I had a hard time relating to him because he...
Because he talked, talk like me?
No, he didn't talk like you.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying that he had a sort of a wimped-out voice.
He sounded a little... Well, he sort of went, Phil, you know, kind of like that. I mean...
Isn't that the way I sound? Don't lie, Phil. If you lie, lying is what really... I leave my doctor's certificate and my all of my doctor stuff, I just leave it in the office, and I strip down to raw, primeval man, if you lie.
You strip down, huh?
It's not gay. I'm a married man.
Okay, now I know that, but what I said during the break...
See, right there. So, because I strip down, you think that's because I want you to... Oh, boy. Be my dad?
No, man. I said during the break that I had a therapist, and that therapist said he wanted to slug me for saying what I said.
Right, and that's exactly what I said to Mr. Green.
Right. I know, and I understand that that's insulting, and I apologize on behalf of him, and I'm not lying. I'm not lying when I say, no, you're not as bad as this therapist. And the reason why is...
Well, you said he had a wimpy voice.
Yeah, but the reason why you're not as bad is you're not my therapist. You know, you're a guest on my show.
So what you're saying is subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective, exactly.
All right, well, I can accept that. It's just if you were to lie to me... And lie, and I've had people lie to me. I'm married to a woman who is 30 years younger than me. I lift. I clean and jerk my own body weight. You know what you about clean and jerk?
I mean, I don't really know what that is.
Well, someday you might.
That sounds gay.
What?
That sounds gay.
What sounds gay? Clean and jerk?
Yeah.
That sort of does.
You better get your people under control, Mr. Henry.
All right, Bud and Robert.
You better get your people under control, Mr. Henry.
All right, you guys just shut up, okay?
You better get your people under control.
They're under control.
All right,
Robert Green is going to get back on the line with us because I want to get some, you know, if ever a guy needed closure, man, I need some closure. Bob?
Yeah, Phil. Robert Green.
All right, so Dr. Sandler's here, and can we just move on, gentlemen? What would you say is the read here, Dr. Sandler, in this dynamic, in this workplace dynamic?
Well, as I was going to say, Phil, at the beginning of the hour, I do think that there is a power trip. Those of us who were educated in the 60s and the 70s, when we came of age, you know, we came of age with transactional analysis, and then we came of age with Werner Erhard. I do believe that there, is Werner Erhard the guy that does, ESP? Is that what it is? No, Werner Erhard, it's EST. What's that? EST. EST?
EST. EST.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was one. And a lot of us came of age. I think you have a power trip. I think you're tripping. I think you're all, you know, you want to rule it over women. I do. I've often felt, Bob, and I've told you this, that you have an issue with women. An issue with women. I don't deny that. They talk too much. Well, okay, but right there, what you're admitting to is you are hostile. No, I'm not hostile if they shut up. Why would you say that's hostile? Well, listen to the words you use. You go, and then, by the way, speaking of wimpy, you sound like you're about 3 feet tall. Okay, see, so now you want to throw down. No, I didn't say that at all. Why are you insulting me? Because you started out with all this stuff about how I sounded like some sort of a fruit. I didn't say fruit. I said... And you sound like you're some fruit ball that's 3 feet tall wearing turned-up shoes.
Okay, look, do you understand that you guys have now gone from talking psychology and workplace relations to insulting each other, turned up shoes, 3 feet tall?
Am I wrong, or does this guy sound like a real bowl of fruit? Am I wrong?
Okay, guys, if you're going to talk that way, there's no point. I'm going to let you go.
That's great. Okay, so I'm twisting in the breeze with a possible harassment and hostile workplace lawsuit, and you're going to let me go because this guy with missing half of his tongue, okay, I said it.
How dare you?
No one ever bring that up. I had to bring it up because nobody knows what you're saying, sir.
Everyone understands Dr. Sadler very well.
Oh, okay, Phil. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. I'm the one to bring it up, not you. Look, somebody had to bring it up. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Sadler's missing half. Shut up! Shut up! No, I'm going to say it. Dr. Sadler, shut up!
Okay, Bob. All right.
I won't. Shut your mouth!
All right, Bob, I'm saying goodbye to you.
Oh, that's the biggest...
Dr. Sadler, we're going to conclude with you. Do you want to tell people why you have the speech impediment?
Not now. Maybe in my name.
What?
I'm sorry, when I get excited. Not now, maybe in my babe.
Maybe in...
In a little babe.
In a little babe?
No, in a little babe. Not now, maybe in the Babel Bay.
Oh, in Biscayne Bay.
Biscayne Bay?
Are you trying to be funny? Are you?
No, sir, I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
I said I don't want to tell nobody now about my beaver family. The Babel Bay.
By the by.
You know, oh, God, I want to hurt somebody.
You better dump that. I don't know what he said.
No, but I don't know what he said either.
Dr. Jim Sadler, he will at some point, I guess, come back on the show, right?
Yeah, at Biscayne Bay.
I don't think he said it. He wasn't saying Biscayne Bay.
Oh, wait a second. Here comes a fax.
A fax?
I mean, an email. Here it is. I said, not now, maybe in a couple of days, douche.
Oh, maybe in a couple of days. Well, that would put it around Saturday, and we won't be here. All right.
Yeah, nice doing, Dr. Sadler. Dr. Babbler.
All right, anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back after these very special announcements and messages. And like that, they're schmear. Woo!
I said, not now, baby, 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 baby.
Nope, still can't figure it out.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Everybody, a dumbass. I didn't say everybody's a dumbass. Welcome back here. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show here. It is our news and information hour. And this is where we kind of kick it around a little bit here with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And thank you, Bud, for holding down the fort there. It's kind of a confusing 3 hours tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guests were. Yeah, we have the guests all whacked out.
Well, I mean, they're whacked out, they're confused, they're idiots to begin with, you know. And whose idea was to have Debbie Daly sing? I guess it was my idea.
Yeah, you're the one who said that'd be really cool and everything, make everybody feel all warm and fuzzy.
I didn't say warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. You want to do that because you think it's going to give you brownie points with all the people that got jacked up hearing.
What do you mean it's going to give me brownie points with people who got jacked up hearing?
Yeah, you want to score some points with the cripples.
Hey, would you guys watch it, please?
Sorry.
No, I ain't trying to score any points. It was Margaret that wanted to bring her on in the first place. Margaret's the one who said she wanted to, I said, why don't you come on? You can sing some Donna Summer songs. Oh, well, no. Debbie Daly can sing. All right. This is an interesting article, but what it actually inspired in me was a conversation about something really not having much to do with the article. But let me start out with the article, and then I want to sort of expand. Brain ailments in veterans likened to those in athletes. Now, this is a study that was done by a Dr. Lee Goldstein and Anne McKee. They are authors of a paper on a disease called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And what is that? It is the wasting of brain tissue as the result of concussion. And they're finding that in athletes, as you know, particularly football players, suffering many concussions, they get this condition where they're literally, there's gray matter that's dying. Well, the same thing they're finding in veterans, combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, who were exposed to roadside bombs. The explosion and the resulting concussive effect of that explosion, not necessarily that the men were injured by the explosive charge itself, but that they were injured by the concussive nature of sound and the shock of the blast. These guys have the same condition. And so they're, you know, this is a beginning for doctors. It's sort of a beginning place for doctors in treating this problem. There, according to the doctor, there's a profound and definitive way that there is an organic structural problem in the brain associated with blast exposure, said Dr. Goldstein. He is at the Boston University School of Medicine. He's the lead author of the paper, which was published online Wednesday in the peer-reviewed journal Science Translational. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, boy. What's that mean, peer-reviewed?
Yeah. It means that other doctors look at your work and review it. So this is how doctors and this is how scientists maintain their knowledge. You know, you don't just become a doctor and then you hang out your shingle and then you sit on your ass and you wait for the patients to come in. You are expected to constantly be reviewing and constantly updating your knowledge. That's why they have medical journals and papers, and you're expected to stay abreast of these things. It's just like in any other profession. This says translational. What is that? T-R-A-N-S-L-A-T. I've never seen that word before. Anyway, the paper provides the strongest evidence yet that some and perhaps many combat veterans with invisible brain injuries caused by explosions are at risk of developing long-term neurological diseases similar to what football players or athletes that are have been injured by way of concussion, similar to what they suffer. And the thing that this got me, first of all, I took a look at the doctors involved in this, Dr. Goldstein and Dr. McKee, and I thought, thank God for these people, you know.
Yeah, they went to school, man, and did more than I did.
Yeah, at least they didn't cut school like me.
Well, they did more than not just cut school. They went and they pursued a worthy profession, and not only did they pursue a worthy profession, they went into research. They're not just, you know, they're not just running some family practice. They went into research. And the whole point that I'm making about this is, you know, that America, now these are two brilliant people, and they give a damn enough to study a problem that's affecting Americans, and they're authoring papers on it, and they're digging into these situations. America is lagging in math and science. You've heard it said many times. In other words, what's the bottom line? We're a country of dumbasses and getting stupider as the days go by. Now, that may be funny to some people. You know, good luck, Jack, when you're, you know, when you're putting rivets into a Korean car for a Chinese boss, okay?
Get out of here. You tell me that's going to happen?
I'm telling you right now that Americans are, we have become a consumer society because we can't make anything anymore, and pretty soon we ain't even going to have the money to consume. They'll just stick our asses out there on the out there at the fish farm, and we'll just be like you know, we'll be like the Thracians and the Roman colonial peoples of old. You know, Rome. Basically, what Rome was this very wealthy central power that was just eating all of the things that was produced by or were produced by their conquered territories. And right now, America is sort of the Rome. But pretty soon, we're going to be the conquered territory. A bunch of dumbasses that don't know how to do anything.
You think it's going to happen to us?
Yes, if we don't get off our ass. You know, that's why I'm very grateful for people like Simon Cowell and Howard Stern. It's interesting how you bring Simon Cowell and Howard Stern into the same conversation with two doctors that are authoring a paper on CTE. But here's why. These two people are doing some worthwhile work. American Idol and America's Got Talent is simply one more place for every stupid person that thinks they are talented can go and act like a jackass and, thank God, be told, you haven't got any talent, man. You couldn't run a flea circus. Get your ass out of here and go back and pursue something that's worthy of you.
I never heard Kyle say that.
Well, that's what he said, and that's what Howard Stern says. You suck. You suck. What are you doing here, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of people, they want to be a singer.
I don't give a damn if they want to be singers. A lot more of these people should be told, you stink, go back home and get back in school and get serious. Who the hell are these people anyway? And are the parents encouraging them? What I'm trying to tell you is, while we're sitting here in this country like the dumbest pack of jackasses you ever saw, trying to be singers and actors and whatever the hell else we're trying to be, you got a whole, you know, there's people all over the world, societies all over the world that are pushing their kids through math, through science, through these very, you know, these disciplines that are actually going to be very, very fruitful in the years ahead, in this century that we're looking at, the 21st century, where the entertainer who made a lot of money in the 20th century, the artist who made a lot of money, we're coming out of the century of the artist and the entertainer, as far as I'm concerned, the money that artists made is unbelievable. Well, we're all done with that. All done with it. And now the money is going over, unless, of course, you're super talented like me.
Yeah, they better cut some fat checks for you.
Yeah, and a little check for me.
Right. Now, but you know what I'm saying? I belong on the radio. I was born to do this. This is, if ever a guy was born to be an entertainer, it was Phil Hendry. There's nothing else I know how to do, and frankly, I'm better at this than just about, I mean, I hate to be egotistical, but I am, man. I know there's a lot of cats that are good, but I'm right up there with anybody. There's not anybody on the air, I can tell you that right now, working in this business, not anybody that scares me. Not any of them. There's a lot of them that I like, and a lot of them that I admire, but they ain't one of those guys that scares me. You know, I just wish I had, and I'm going to be, you know, in the days and the weeks ahead, I'm going to be sending out blackmail letters.
Yeah, I got those pictures.
Right, so I can get... I'm kidding. But that's me. See, this is a... If you can't say in your heart of hearts that you were born to do the thing that you're doing, get the hell out of it and do something else. If you don't feel it in your bones, if you don't feel that this is where you ought to be, then, Jack, find another job. And if you're going out there on American Idol or whatever the hell else... And, oh, I think I'd like to try singing.
Yeah, I think it's great Howard Stern telling people they stink, and Simon Cowell, too. But a lot of those people, how do you know they're going to go home and blow their brains out?
Let me tell you something. If some jackass leaves American Idol or America's Got Talent and they blow their brains out after Simon Cowell or Howard Stern told them to go, go hump a tree, man, they had bigger problems than whether or not they were going to get a contract from freaking American Idol, man. Now, take your little sheet music, take your bad singing ass, and get out of here. And that one chick that I saw, I think was the opening episode of American Idol this year, where she really dressed, man. Did you see that?
Yeah, tell her hot pants, man.
Yeah, she said she's going to make them notice.
Well, yeah, great. And they still told her she stunk. She thought she was going to actually get past the first round if she had really tight shorts on and was showing them her ass. And guess what?
Sent her ass home.
They sent that really fine ass home. Exactly. All right. Enough of that garbage. But anyway, thank you very much for the great service you do us, American Idol. All right. We'll be back. Trayvon Martin, some documents have revealed some new details. Not much. It's just some stuff. Who knows how to read it. And raw sewage may have been flowing into Bitter Lake for 8 years. Plus... That means that the drinking water is green, but they still say it's safe. Let's find out about that when we come back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. News
Truth
and Entertainment Hour.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Margaret at the bottom of the hour. Is that right?
Yeah, she's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, Margaret's going to be on the bottom. Oh, you know, don't give me those looks, okay? You guys are really crude.
Yeah, Mr. Hall said that if you didn't point it out, nobody knows what I was talking about.
I don't care what Mr. Hall said. When you guys are giving each other the look like, I don't like it, because that means your minds are working a certain way, and I want your minds working not in the gutter, up on the sidewalk. Remember what I said?
Yeah, I got to remember that.
Remember our first, what's our first axiom here on the Phil Hendry Show, bud?
Yeah, your mind on a sidewalk, not in the gutter.
Exactly.
I thought it was on a sidewalk.
No, it didn't sound like that to me. All right. This is not exactly earth-shattering news, but we will update you on the Trayvon Martin case. Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin from a very close range, according to documents a Florida prosecutor released on Thursday that indicate a hand-to-hand struggle occurred before the teenager was killed. This is part and parcel of discovery. The defense gets these documents, and you and I do. A lab report based on an examination of the two sweatshirts Martin was wearing found holes and gunshot residue consistent with a contact shot, meaning the gun was pressed against Martin's chest. An autopsy report said that the gunshot wound indicated he was shot from an intermediate range, which experts say is between 1 and 18 inches away. The reports, among nearly 200 pages of newly released information, add to the fragmented portrait of what happened the night of February 26th, when Zimmerman shot the unarmed black 17-year-old, provoking nationwide debates over racial profiling and self-defense laws. It's unclear how the new documents might bolster or undermine the state's case against Zimmerman, whose mother is Peruvian and father is white. I don't know why they brought that up, you know.
Well, I'm kind of the multiracial.
The multiracial.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. So the information includes laboratory. I know he's, to me, he looks Hispanic. Does he look Hispanic to you?
Yeah, but he's got a white mother.
Let me just stop for a second. I got no more patience with this conversation we're having in this country now. Before Barack Obama was elected president, I'm not crazy. I lived here, too. So don't give me this load of crap. If you were half black, you were black, Jack. So don't give me this crap about Barack Obama being half white. These people have said Obama's half white, and he is half white. But in America, half white, when you've got black blood, never, ever, ever meant jack squat. So don't tell me that it does now. Never, ever. These people who think you were born yesterday really cracked me up. Oh, you know that Obama, why do they call him black? He's half white. Oh, really? And since when is a black guy with white blood, since when is that guy half white? Never in my life. And I'm talking about racial attitude now, okay? Never in my life did I ever hear of anybody, any black person, and I'm telling you right now, folks, and I can't believe people are dishonest about this.
Well, I mean, are you saying he's not half white?
I'm telling you right now that it is a convenient argument that a lot of racist mothers make because they don't want to look racist. So they say, oh, and I'm not racist because he's half white. If he wasn't president and this was, 6, 7 years ago, he'd be black. Anybody with black blood, black. It's the way it's always been in this country, and it's the way it still is. And anybody that's telling me that, oh, I'm not racist, Obama's half white, why do they even call him black? They're not being honest, and they know it. So don't, you know, go yank somebody else, all right? I get so sick and tired of that.
But wait a minute, man. I know that he's half white, and I know what you're saying. He basically black.
Are you saying he's just a black guy?
Oh, are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? Did you hear him say when he stood in the street in New York before he was president, when nobody knew who he was, and he tried to hail a cab? What the hell do you think happened to this half-white guy if he's so half-white? He didn't get a cab. He looks black, and that means he is black in the minds of everybody that sees him. And I think it's another one of these oily, slippery, slimy arguments that these racists make so they don't look racist. I got to tell you something. There's only two kinds of racists. One, a complete and utter imbecile. The other, a completely dishonest, almost sociopathic individual who they know they're wrong, but to them it's a game of getting back at the world that shortchanged him. Period. There's no other kind of racist. There might be a third kind, and that's the guy that suddenly realizes, boy, I really have been stupid about this. Maybe being a racist is not cool.
What? Well, what do you mean?
I mean, a guy that's really honest and is seeking the truth, and maybe he was raised in an environment where there was a lot of racist talk, and he gets to a certain point in his life, and he goes, well, wait a second, that's not right, because of what I've observed about life, I don't think I've been entirely... I don't think I've educated myself in this. And so he's an honest, truth-seeking person. But among the racists of the world, especially in this country, that's about one-half of one-tenth of 1%, if there's any of them. The other ones are divided almost evenly between utter imbeciles. I mean, real nose-picking morons and the jackasses that manipulate them. And those guys are just flat dishonest. Those guys have just got a problem because life didn't work out the way it should have, and they're so brilliant and they're so smart. They're like a lot of these guys that think that they're just brain surgeons, and the world just told them to, we don't want to be around you, man, because you're a hateful piece of garbage, and it's somehow the world's fault.
What he said about people call Obama half white.
Those are idiots. Most of them are idiots. And, yeah. And then there's the dishonest ones. The dishonest ones are the ones that if they saw Obama before he was president, they say, there goes a black guy. There goes a black guy. Now, all of a sudden, no, he's half white. Yeah, sure. How can I be racist? He's half white. Now, those are the people. Those are the slimy bastards. And then there's the idiots. Those people that are, Obama's half white. That's because I heard a guy say he was half white. Well, I don't have a problem with anybody that's half white. You don't? Oh, okay. Sure you don't. So anyway...
I don't know, man. Obama, he looks black to me.
Yeah, he looks black to you. So is he black?
No, he's half white.
No, bud, you didn't say that, if it was 5-6 years ago.
I didn't know Obama 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, but any other black guy that's half white.
Nah, you guys are nuts.
Yeah, that's right. We're all nuts and you're... Yeah, okay. Anyway, getting back here to the Trayvon Martin case, it's unclear how these new documents might bolster or otherwise harm the prosecution's case. Here's another very insidious thing. The information includes laboratory reports that show Martin's blood had traces of THC. That means that he had traces of the active ingredient marijuana. Now, you watch over the next several weeks how those traces of marijuana in his bloodstream will suddenly evolve in the minds of some people into a perfectly logical and valid reason to kill the guy in cold blood.
Ma'am. Well, I mean, if he was stoned or something.
If he was stoned, what?
Maybe attack the guy.
Have you ever met anybody that's smoked weed and then wanted to go out and kick ass? It's completely counterintuitive to being stoned. Yeah, let me go out and get in a fight. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. It is our news and information
hour.
Excuse me.
Hour.
There you go. Margaret Gray coming up next.
Yeah, Margaret, it's about Donna Summer.
Yeah, about Donna Summer. Back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray is going to get on the line with us here as a tribute to the late Donna Summer, who passed on yesterday from lung cancer at the age of 63. I always thought Donna Summer was my age or younger, but she's a little bit older.
I wanted to comment. That's your way of saying, oh, gee, look at me. I'm not as old as some people. And I think, a lady's vanity.
Well, all right, Margaret. I didn't mean anything by that. And Margaret's joining us. It was Frank. What happened to Frank?
Frank?
I'm sorry. What happened to Harvey?
Oh, Harvey, well, he knocked on the door claiming he was Domino's, and I had to give him what for.
So that means what?
I kicked his ass. Is that enough for you? And I put him back in his Cadillac, and I called up his daughter, whoever, and they came and picked him up. He tried to get in the house here.
Yeah, I know. I just... All right. Is Frank there?
What do you got? What's with Frank, Phil? I don't understand.
I just wonder if he's there. Sometimes he joins you.
No. Frank is at the pool now trying to get ice for his drink like he usually does. And he's, you know, he's going to always have that brain damage. Did you get it?
I don't know where it is. Yeah, I've got...
Yeah, I tell him all the time where the ice is. Anyway, Phil, I want to sing a song that, yes, you're absolutely right, does very much honor Donna Summer. She was so many things to so many people. She was the goddess. She was the mother. She was the disco queen. She was the diva. She was the songstress. She was the balladeer. She was woman. She was girl. She was...
Okay, that's fine.
I beg your pardon?
That's good. You're going to go on and on.
You know, that is the rudest thing to do while I was trying to set this song up.
Well, it sounded...
That was absolutely the... I was setting the song up with a little poetic intro for a little girl named Donna Summer who passed on.
Sorry.
Now, as I was saying, Donna Summer was... She was spokesmodel. She was spokeswoman. She was femme fatale. She was songstress. She was balladeer. She was songwriter. She was dancer. She was singer. She was goddess. She was, yes, I'll say it. She was our dream sex dance slut. She was all of these things, but she was also something else, Phil. You know what she was? She was a singer. Now, I know I already said that.
Yeah, you see, you're telling me about the poetry here, and we could have gotten to the song.
All right, I said singer, but I meant singer in a different way. Never mind. This is a great Donna Summer song. It's called...
Yeah?
Oh, would you shut up?
Giving a dramatic pause, Phil.
What?
He's giving a dramatic pause.
Sorry.
Here is a song now by Donna Summer, and it's called... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7...
God.
Who said God?
I did.
Would you please shut your hole?
Keep the cake home.
Here is a song by Donna Summer, and it's called 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Last dance. Now let's go.
I'll see you soon. Don't worry about it. I'll see you soon. It's called Last Dance. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna solo it up a little bit, Phil. Last dance. Last chance for love.
Wow.
Is it the last chance for romance tonight? Oh, I need you.
Okay, that, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it.
Well, you really are.
I can't take it anymore. I'm sorry.
You don't get a call back.
I just, that me. God.
What's wrong with that, man? See, let's get into it.
What, are you telling me you guys like that?
Well, I mean, I would like to hear out more of the development that, you know, there where it was going to go.
Where it was going to go? As far as I could tell, man, it had nowhere else to go but down, straight down. She's got that mic all over the place.
No, it's a phone.
All right, it's the phone. Hell, I'd rather her come in here and sing it live. I just don't think that, you know, it is... I don't think it's anything that is, you know... Margaret, I'm sorry, but you were... The phone...
You know something, Phil? If you were standing here, you wouldn't be anymore. You'd be on the ground holding onto your... I'm going to say it. Onto your... And so...
We had to dump that.
Yeah, I figured you would. I figured that's the kind of man you are. I'm just telling people, you'd be laying on your side with your hands down between your legs, sounding, go ahead, Frank, hit it. Like that, like Mr. Ed. Okay?
I apologize, but it was sounding pretty bad. Speaking of Mr. Ed...
Are you telling me I sounded like a horse?
No, I'm... No.
Are you telling me I sounded like a horse?
No, I'm not saying that, but you were, guide me. It was all over the place, and I could hear the telephone and the cord, you know.
I told you I was going to soul it up. That means give it a little bit of a black feel, okay? Now shut up.
Oh, God.
You've thrown me off so much, Phil. I'm Margaret Gray. Last dance. Last chance for love.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Frank. Yes, it's the last chance. Romance. Tonight. That's a little bit of a Four Seasons thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I need you. I need you, Frank. By me.
Of course.
Beside me. To guide me. Hold me. Scold me. Cause when I'm bad, I'm dead.
Okay, that's it, man.
What do you do?
What do you mean, what did I do? As soon as she went into the baritone, I'm done with it.
I thought it sounded pretty good up to then, though.
Yeah, it sounded okay. But as soon as I heard, last dance, that was the end of that. Thank you, Margaret. And rest in peace, Donna Summer. You know, I remember driving to work when that song, because I worked at a rock station at the time. This was 1976. When her first big hit record came out was MacArthur's Park. And the thing that made it a novelty was that it was MacArthur's Park. It wasn't really so much that Donna Summer, you know, nobody knew who she was. But the thing that was a novelty about it was MacArthur's Park as a dance song.
Oh, yeah, like a disco beat.
Yes, yeah, because in those days they were putting a disco beat to everything, man. There was a guy who was putting a disco beat to, like, Beethoven music. There was a... What the hell was that guy's name? I can't remember his name, but he did a Beethoven song that was like... Wasn't that in...
That was in a John Travolta movie.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that... So anybody that put a disco beat to a song, that was, you know, considered really cool. So she comes along with this MacArthur's Park. But then she followed up with a couple other hit records, and people started to notice her more than maybe just the music. But I remember at the time I was working at a rock station, and we didn't play disco. You know, I mean, now the anti-disco thing that you hear so much about really didn't surface until the last year of the 70s, when disco actually got really popular. Disco wasn't popular. It was just this sort of club music that became popular because of Saturday Night Fever. But it was really nothing until Saturday Night Fever came out. When it became popular, that's when Steve Dahl blew up all those disco records.
Yeah, that was funny, man. He went to a White Sox game?
Yeah, it was at Comiskey Park.
What'd he do?
He took a bunch of disco records. Dahl took a bunch of disco records at the end of a White Sox game and blew them up. It was pretty funny. And That was when it all that anti-disco stuff happened. But at the time, I was just working at a rock station, and I didn't like it. But I noticed that Donna Summer was really kind of, you know, different. She was sexy, and she was beautiful, and she became sort of this icon. So that song, I listened to that damn song going to work every morning, man. I was doing Morning Drive at WORJ in Orlando, which I don't think exists anymore. It was a album rock station in Orlando at the time. And every morning, man, I'm listening to this stuff.
Why don't you listen to your own station?
Because I was trying to find out the news. We weren't really carrying news overnight. So I was listening to the one station that I knew had a regular, like a 20-minute news sweep, which was the that station, the top 40, whatever the hell you want to call it, station. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show with a final concluding segment here in our news and information hour. We'll give it a story on that most beautiful woman in the world slammed over her baby fat. Wait till you hear where she's from. This is very strange. They don't dig her because she's fat. She's considered the most beautiful woman in the world. She's gained weight because she had a baby. But in the country she's from, you'd think that every little bit would be huge. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
America.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, our news and information, awahia. Now, what do you got, bud?
Get that dead song if you want to hear it.
What song?
Get that Beethoven.
Oh, dude, don't you understand that that stuff makes me want to wrench my guts loose? Back then, now, nothing's changed. You know, I hate it. They discoed up everything, man.
Well, I mean, this is all disco version of Beethoven.
Who gives a crap?
That's more. It's classical music. Don't you know nothing about it?
Oh, don't I know nothing about classical music, man? Hell yeah, I do. I know as much as you do.
That ain't much.
Okay. It may not be much. Don't give me this stuff about don't I know nothing about it. You know, and I know that classical music ain't disco music, okay?
Well, you got a problem with disco music, man. You ought to get over it.
I got no problem with disco music. The problem I got is the way they took every freaking song back then and tried to make it into a disco song. I was just talking to Dan. They did it with the theme from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They did it with the theme from the... What the hell is this? Is that it?
Yeah, it's it. Listen to this.
Get out of here with that. All right. Do you mind? Do you mind, bud? Turn it down, will you?
No.
Did you just say no to me?
Well, no. Don't you want to hear it?
No, I don't want to hear it. The world's most beautiful... Get that. The world's most beautiful woman is at the center of a growing controversy. Oh, don't ever tell me no.
Well, I just thought...
All right, go ahead, play it. Go ahead, there. You happy?
Yeah, this is great.
You gotta let Bud, sometimes Bud, you know.
Sometimes Bud what?
Well, sometimes got a good idea.
Yeah, what, like once every 6 years or something? Yeah, you digging it, Bud?
Yeah, just want you to listen to it. Who is this anyway?
Walter Murphy.
No, the guy that, who wrote it?
Oh, that's a guy named that's that Beethoven guy.
Yeah, listen. I get into classical music more like that.
Oh, God.
You need to get educated.
Sure, bud. You know, I need to get educated on classical music. Let me go ahead and get a whole bunch of freaking Walter Murphy disco records.
What's that? Right there.
Oh, big deal, man.
What, you don't dig keyboards?
Yeah, man, I like keyboard. I can't even play them.
Oh, man. Can we turn it off now, please? Please?
Wait a minute. Wait. This is a bitching part.
David.
Yeah, I think this is good for the kid.
So in other words, I'm odd man out here. Is that it?
I think it's good for the kid to listen to this what do you call it, classical music?
No, it's this disco.
The what?
Disco.
Disco?
Yes!
Boy, did you sound gay then. Yes! Why'd you let a little more gas escape?
Thank you.
Right here, this is the bitching part. Okay, you can turn it down.
God! You know what I'm going to do, bud? Your birthday's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you a whole bunch of that stuff.
All right. I would like to hear more of it and maybe even go to a concert.
Do you like classical music or disco music?
Well, whatever that was.
That was disco.
Well, I mean, it was disco and classical.
I like that Beethoven guy.
Well, then you like classical music, man.
Well, does it sound like that?
No.
But then I ain't going to like it.
Then you like disco, dude. That wasn't Beethoven. That wasn't Beethoven.
Yeah, it was.
It was Beethoven's melody put to a disco beat by some nut by the name of Walter Murphy, okay?
Walter Murphy. His name will reign forever.
Yeah! That's right, man. His name will reign forever. All right, here's a story that's pretty, it's pretty interesting. The world's most beautiful woman is at the center of a growing controversy over fame, motherhood, and, yes, baby fat. You see, it all started when... What the hell are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
The world's most beautiful woman is at the center of a growing controversy over fame, motherhood, and baby fat. Now, her name is Aishwarya Rai Bachchan. She is a former Miss World and one of India's most beloved Bollywood stars.
What are you talking about? That don't make her the most beautiful woman. Oh, sorry.
Will you, do you mind? I mean, I don't want to interrupt your musical education tonight, and, you know, you've just been taking a whole show over. Do you mind?
Yeah, bud.
I don't know. I just...
You got anything else you want to say? I mean, can we play some more Beethoven for you?
Sorry.
Now, the reason why you've never heard of her, she's a star in India, and in India, they call her the world's most beautiful woman, and she is a very striking woman. India has a very big film industry. There's a lot of movie fans over there. They love their Indian-made movies. I told you that I was in Toronto last summer. They were having the Bollywood Awards as I pulled into town, and I was infected with a brand new Asian virus as a result. So,
well, that don't sound too glamorous.
No, it wasn't too glamorous. I'm not blaming Bollywood. Please understand, folks. But, yeah, I sort of am.
Now, you said it was a Chinese guy.
Yeah, just shut up. Anyway, so she's getting slammed for taking... Get a load of this, man. This is India, where you'd think they wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of fat on somebody.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Everybody over there weighed about 15 pounds.
Yeah, why are they upset with her?
Because she's the world's most beautiful woman, man. And if you're the world's most beautiful woman, you can't have any fat on your ass. So she's getting slammed for taking too long to lose her post-pregnancy baby weight. Shocking. This is the tabloids in India. Shocking. Fat Aishwarya and Aishwarya's baby fat woes are just two examples of the headlines that have triggered an international debate over India's perception of women and fame. What do you mean international debate? Nobody in the States gives a crap.
Yeah, nobody in the States gives a crap about anything.
There ain't no international debate. When they say international, they say India and Europe. Aishwarya Rai Bachchan, Miss World in 1994, has long been an icon of beauty and a source of great pride for her country. In the U.S., she's charmed the likes of Oprah. Really? I never even heard of this chick. David Letterman and Julia Roberts. She has...
Well, that ain't all that big deal, man. I mean, Oprah's not on the air anymore. Nobody cares about David Letterman.
Well, that's pretty cruel to say.
But you wasn't on Jay Leno.
She might have been on Jay Leno. She has high-profile cosmetic contracts with L'Oreal. Add to all of this her high-profile wedding in 2007 to the Indian actor Tondo. No, to the Indian actor Bhashek Bakatalawakapa. I don't know. The son of the highly revered actor Amatukuku Lalala and... I can't read these names, man, up against the clock. Anyway, we'll be sure to look this up, folks. It's really important, but I don't have time for it right now. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And remember to go online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. That gives you access to fantastic things like our live-streaming video cast each and every night here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Till then, let that be a lesson to you. It's Reddit AMA tomorrow, man.
Phil Hendry.
And AMA tomorrow. Woo!